How's everybody doing tonight? Hey, how about another hand for Sanctus Real, huh? Wow, that was great. So good. What a blessing. It's great to be here with you tonight. Always a blessing to come back here and always feel like this is another family for us. And as you say, Ohana, we feel very loved and embraced, and it's always a joy to be here with you and to be a part of the ministry going on here. But tonight I'm going to share with you a story out of the Bible about a man. And this man tried to run from God. And I emphasize tried, because he didn't succeed. The Lord found him. And this is found in the book of Jonah. It's more than just a story about a fish. You know, you had your own fish story, the one that got away. This is so much more than a great fish story. This is about a man trying to run from God. It's a four-chapter narrative of a prodigal prophet. It's about a preacher gone rogue, trying to get off of God's grid. But it also reveals to us the nature of God, and that even when we have failed, check this out, God wants to give us a second chance. And maybe you're here tonight, and that's exactly what you need. Maybe it's the third chance, but listen, God wants to give you a second chance or a tenth. He's gracious like that, and maybe you're in need of that. You've been running from God, and you've been running from His call upon your life, and tonight, before our time is through, I'm going to give you an opportunity to commit your life to Christ, to get up out of your seat and come and stand below this platform and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. For others of you tonight, you've been running from God. You're like Jonah. You know about God, but you've been on the run, and you need to run back to Him tonight, and I'm going to give you that opportunity. You'll be thinking about that tonight. Well, our story begins in the book of Jonah, chapter 1. And here's how it starts out. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.'" Now, we know that when Jonah started out as a prophet, he was pretty popular. We had prophesied that the kingdom was going to expand, and it did. And that made him, you know, in the eyes of the people, he was a great guy, because when Jonah prophesied initially, great things happened. But now the Lord comes to him and gives him his next assignment. And his next assignment was in the form of a command. The Lord said, "I want you to go to the city of Nineveh, and I want you to cry out against it because of the wickedness that's there." And they got to understand, the city of Nineveh was one of the capital cities of the rival nation known as the Assyrians. And this place was an incredible fortress. Ancient historians said that Nineveh was the largest city in the world at that time. There were some 1,200 towers that were surrounded by 100-foot walls. And the Assyrians, they were ruthless. They were a violent and brutal people, especially in battle. They would maim their victims, torture them, and they would actually pierce their noses. And some people do that today, but this wasn't a fashion thing. They would pierce their noses, and they would drag them across the desert naked back to their country. I mean, you talk about, some people were so afraid of the Assyrians that they would take their own lives before the Assyrians arrived, because they were so fearful of what was going to happen to them. This Assyrian empire became this world-dominating empire for 300 years. And at one time, they were the instrument in the hands of the Lord, even to judge the northern kingdom of Israel because of their rebellion against God. So here's Jonah, a prophet in Israel, and the Lord says, "Hey, Jonah, I want you to go down to Nineveh, you know, that one wicked city, and I want you to prophesy to them." Jonah's thinking in his mind, why? Why would God send me to these wicked people? What purpose could God have in sending me to Nineveh? A couple things. First of all, God cares for lost people. Did you know that? God cares for lost people. Jesus said, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save those who are lost." And maybe you're lost tonight, and the Good Shepherd wants to find you. God is interested, folks, not just in the salvation of America, but also of Muslim nations, of Hindu nations, of Buddhist nations. He wants them to come to the knowledge of the truth of the love of God. The Lord is concerned, and the Lord is not only just concerned about the nations, He's concerned about you individually tonight, you personally. If you were the only person that ever lived, Jesus still would have come and died for your sins. That's how much God loves you tonight, and you got to know that. The Lord also was concerned, the Bible tells us, about 120,000 children that lived in this city that couldn't tell their right hand from their left. And when Jonah receives this commission from the Lord, he had a decision to make. Either he could obey God, go to Nineveh, or he could disobey and rebel against God's command. And so we see Jonah's response to the call and direction of God in the very next verse. It says in verse 3, "But Jonah arose to run, and he ran to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, and he went down into it, and to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Jonah attempts to run from the presence of the Lord. How can you run from the presence of the Lord when he's everywhere all the time? You can't. But he attempted. He tried to run from God. When God called Jonah to prophesy to Nineveh, they were getting close to attacking the northern kingdom. And the last thing that Jonah wanted to do was to go to the enemies of his people and prophesy to them. So Jonah decided to run to Tarshish. Tarshish was, it's actually hard to say, but Tarshish was the farthest place away from Nineveh. It was in the exact opposite direction. The Lord said, "I want you to go this way." And Jonah said, "I'm not going that way." He went as far away from Nineveh as he could possibly get. And heading to Tarshish, Jonah was intending to get as far away from the calling of God. It says here he was trying to get away from the presence of God. Folks, that is impossible. You can't get away from the presence of God. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom he must give an account." You know, there's only one way to get away from the presence of God, and that's in hell. And Jesus died so that you would never have to be separated from the presence of God, so that you could go to heaven. Maybe you've been running from the call of God on your life, but you know, deep down inside of you, that the Lord has been calling you to follow him. It seems like everywhere you go, you keep running into these people that are Christians. And they keep telling you about Jesus. And how Jesus died on the cross. And how Jesus was buried and then he rose from the dead. And he offers you eternal life. And how God loves you and has a plan for your life. It seems like everywhere you go, you can't get away from it. And you're trying to resist it. And yet God keeps bringing people into your life to bring you to himself. But you say, "Hey, listen, my life is good. I got good things going on in my life right now. I don't necessarily need God." In your opinion, you think, "Hey, I'm doing pretty well at this point in my life." And yet, you can't shake the emptiness that's within you that only a relationship with God can fill. No relationship with a man, no relationship with a woman, no pursuit of your career goals. All of these things eventually leave us empty and longing for something more. Guys, listen, there is a void inside of each one of our hearts that God has placed there that only he himself is big enough to fill. And he wants to fill that void in your life tonight, if you'll let him. And so Jonah makes his plans. Begins his journey away from God. And this is what I find interesting. As Jonah decides to run from God, he conveniently finds a ship to take him where he wanted to go. Everything seemed to be working out so wonderfully in his attempted escape. Doors were opening for him. Things are looking up. Hey, you know, maybe it wasn't such a bad idea to run away from God after all. I mean, look, everything's working out. Got a nice boat, little cruise line. I'm going to go down, just sleep here, maybe play a little shuffleboard. You know, this is going to be great, he thought. Isn't it interesting that when a person tries to run from God, there will always be a convenient way available? The devil will always have a boat waiting for you if you want to get on it, to go in the opposite direction of God. But listen, listen carefully, you will always pay a price. You will always pay a price. The Bible says that sin is pleasurable for a season. Listen, nobody get messed up with sin if sin wasn't fun. People get involved in it. It's fun for a season, but it brings death. It brings destruction. The wages of sin is death. Price will be paid. But the Bible says, don't be deceived. God isn't mocked. It says, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. It's going to cost you something. Maybe it's going to cost you your integrity. Maybe it's going to cost you your purity, your virginity. Maybe it's going to cost you your reputation, your marriage, your relationship with your children. It will cost. The devil promises that he's going to give you something, but he never delivers on his promise. You always reap what you sow. Maybe not immediately, but you do eventually. Jonah, of all people, should have known better. He knew what God wanted, but he was unwilling to surrender. He knew deep down you can't run from God. But even though he knew that, he hardened his heart. And the prophet Jonah, it's interesting, it says he continued to go down. He went down to the boat, down into the bottom of the boat. Eventually we're going to see him go down into the sea. Spoiler alert, he goes down into the bottom of the ocean. Every step you take away from God, listen, it's always down. And if you keep running from God, that's where it ends. When you run from God, that's the only direction you can go. Now, in verse 2, it says, but Jonah. But then it says in verse 4, but the Lord. The Lord always has the last word, just so you know. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. And there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. As Jonah set sail, thinking, I have achieved my goal. I was waiting for the sun to come out, get a little tanning oil on. I was going to sit out on the deck and enjoy the ride. Oh, but the Lord loved Jonah enough to pursue him. And the Lord caused an enormous storm to come into Jonah's life. And in a matter of moments, all of his plans were about to break apart, quite literally. But the story of Jonah and this storm that he faced, this was a storm sent from God. This was a storm of correction to bring Jonah back to God. And you know something? God loves you enough, and God loves me enough, that if we want to run from God or we attempt to do so, he'll bring a storm into your life. He'll bring a storm into your life to bring you back to him. Again, maybe you're running from God and you're finding that your plans aren't succeeding. A storm has hit your life. It's intensifying. Things are unraveling. God loves you. That's why he's pursuing you. If he didn't love you, he wouldn't run after you. I remember one man, he was sharing his testimony one time in a church service like this. He said, brother, share your testimony with us. He said, he was talking about all the things that God had done in his life. And finally, someone said, brother, why don't you share about what your part? He goes, I'm sorry. Let me share with you my part. I was running away from God as fast as I could, and he ran me down and caught me. That was my part. And maybe that's your story even now, and the Lord's pursuing you. And if you can hear his voice tonight, do not harden your heart. Respond to him. This massive storm on the Mediterranean only continued to grow. And you get into verse 5, and the sailors are now afraid. And it says that every man in that boat began to cry out to his God. And they started to take all the cargo and throw it over into the sea to lighten the load. But where was Jonah? Oh, Jonah, he was just down in the lowest part of the ship. He had lain down. He was fast asleep. There is a storm all around. I mean, Jonah is so deaf and spiritually deaf to God bringing a storm into his life, he's just sleeping in it. He doesn't even see it. He doesn't even know what's going on. That's how blind he is to what's happening. And so the captain comes to him as he's asleep down in the ship, and he says, what are you doing, sleeper? Calls him a sleeper. Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. As the storm continues, the captain gives the command, calling all gods, and everybody just starts calling on their god, whatever god they worship. Somebody had an idol, they start praying to it. Somebody else praying to this god. They're all calling out to their gods, looking for an answer. When everything was smooth sailing, nobody's praying. Nobody's calling out to God. There weren't prayers being offered out. Oh, listen, but now if the storm hit, God, if you're out there, the big man upstairs, could you, you know, if you could get me out of this, I promise I'll never do what I did if you help me. You know, people are like that. There's no atheists in foxholes, they say. I mean, when the storm comes, oh, Lord Jesus, I think that's your name, I just want you to help me. Just deliver me. That's what I'm asking for. When a tragedy occurs, how quickly people cry out for some kind of divine intervention. And that's how many people are today. They have no regard for God. They don't believe that he exists. They'll even deny him, or even worse yet, blaspheme him with their life until a crisis comes. And then they're not opposed to prayer or crying out to God for deliverance. When things get bad enough, someone will cry out to the Lord for his help. Listen, every single person will have a day when what you believe will be put to the test. every single person here tonight, there will come a day in your life when what you believe is put to the test, whether it's real or not, whether the ground is actually solid that you're building your life on. And listen, I had that recently this last year when my father went home to be with the Lord. And as I watched him over that last year, as cancer began to touch his body, and I watched as he began to deteriorate on the outside. The inside, he was being renewed day by day because God was working in and through his life. He was a witness right up until the very end, until he took his last breath and went home to be with the Lord. But listen, everything that I believed was put to the test. And you know what I found out? Solid ground. Solid ground. What about your life? What about when you come to the end? What about when you're about to take your last breath? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Do you know what you believe and why you believe it? Do you know where you will go? Do you know when you take your last breath here on this planet that you're going to take your first breath in heaven? Friend, you got to be sure of that. And the Bible says you can know that you have salvation tonight if you accept Christ. He loves you. And so the crisis came and they cried out like they never cried out. And so what they ended up doing is they said, well, we got to figure out who the problem is. What's happened here? And so these suspicious sailors, they decide to draw lots. They have these lots, these things. We're going to basically see whoever gets the shortest lot, you're the problem. And so Jonah's thinking, well, man, I got a good shot here. There's quite a few sailors here. Maybe I won't get picked. Oh, no. God wasn't going to let him off the hook. That's kind of funny. God wasn't going to let him off the hook. Did you see what I did there? I was totally unintentional. That was free. You know, I just threw that out there. But he wasn't going to let him off the hook. And so what happens is they draw straws. Jonah picks the small one. Can you believe it? Jonah's thinking like, oh, please not the small one. Please not the small one. Ah, small one. Who are you? What are you doing? Tell us about yourself. And so Jonah, now his sin had affected everybody else. Isn't it interesting? Sometimes when we get involved in sin, we think, hey, listen, I'm not affecting anybody else. This is just me and my phone. This is my phone. I'm not affecting anybody, we say. Listen, you're affecting your mind. You're affecting your relationships. You're affecting your marriage. You're affecting everything. Sin always affects other people, not just us. It has this tangled web. And sometimes we make excuses for it and we want to blame it on somebody else. And it's just, I just can't help it. I'm in this. Like the guy that was at this prayer meeting, he kept praying, oh Lord, I just want to pray that you would just deliver me from this web of sin. And Lord, I just pray that you just, this web of sin, that's just entangled. Lord, the web of sin, just deliver me. Kept praying about this web of sin. Finally, this godly old woman in this prayer meeting said, Lord, we pray that you would kill the spider. So Jonah speaks up. He says, I'm a Hebrew. And I'm running. He basically says, I fear the Lord God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. Oh, great. Thanks for telling us that now. Why didn't you tell us before you got on the boat? And by the way, I'm also running from the God who created the sea and everything in it. So just so you know, I'm the problem. Amazing. Sailors were upset with Jonah. So they try to fight the storm. They're going to try to get their way out of it. But the more they fought it, the worse it became. Listen, the more you fight God, the worse it becomes. You think, I'm going to get myself out of this. Let me just ask you a question. Why would you run from perfect love tonight? There is no one who loves you like God loves you. Nobody. God loves you perfectly. All your hang-ups, all your mess-ups, all the things, how bad you've blown it in your life, God loves you. He knows everything about it, and he's the only one who can forgive you, and he offers you salvation. Why would you run from that? Perfect love. And so Jonah, they're fighting it. Finally, in Jonah's rebellion, he just says, listen, guys, I got a plan. Just do me a favor. Pick me up, he says in verse 12, and just throw me into the sea. Throw me into the sea, and then the sea is going to become calm for you, and I know this great tempest is because of me. Nevertheless, again, the men rowed hard to return to the land, but they couldn't, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Jonah says, guys, just let's end this. And you think to yourself, oh, maybe Jonah has a change of heart. Maybe he's concerned about the sailors. They were so innocent, and he doesn't want to see their boat get broken. So, hey, guys, it's all right. I can tread water. Just throw me over. Maybe he was concerned about the sailors. I don't think so. You know what I think Jonah thought? I feel that Jonah was thinking in his mind, it's better for me to die than to fulfill God's purpose and his will for my life. He was still unwilling to yield to the Lord. You know, there's a rising statistic today in this world among young people, but also among older people. It's suicide, self-harm. More and more people hurting themselves, cutting themselves, thinking about taking their own lives, thinking about ending it all. I'm so depressed. I can't take this anymore. I don't want to live anymore. You can look around society and you see some of these wealthy rock stars and these huge movie stars, and they have everything at their fingertips and they are unsatisfied and they don't see a reason for living. And so they take their life. They overdose on drugs. Or they choose to hang themselves, or whatever it is. And you find this increasing, and people so depressed, so overwhelmed. Listen, there is one person behind suicide, and that is Satan, the devil. He's the father of lies. He comes to destroy. And if you're one of those people tonight who has thought about harming yourself, listen, I want you to understand something. That's not from the Lord. There is a purpose for your life. There is a reason for your existence. You're alive for a reason, and don't you dare believe that lie and give in to it. Do you understand? That's how important it is. Jesus said, I came to give you life and that more abundantly. Amen? And if you're hurting, God can heal you. If you're wounded and you don't see a reason for your existence, Jesus said that he's the way, the truth, and the life. He wants to give you a reason. Your life can change. Immediately, God can do a work. You can be saved from destruction. And so Jonah says, guys, do me a favor, just throw me overboard. He thought, you know what? I went down to this ship. I went down into the bottom of the ship. I'll just go down into the bottom of the sea. And so they picked up Jonah and threw him over. And I imagine Jonah thought, that's it. Done. I am definitely not going to Nineveh. Blah, 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 blah. But what Jonah didn't know, it says in verse 17, and I love this. It says, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. Ha! God already knew what he was going to do. Oh, Jonah, I am so far ahead of you, man. I already got a fish ready. Hey, listen, fish. I mean, I don't know how the Lord prepared this fish, but he was ready to go. He's probably just trailing the boat. Anytime now, they're going to throw him over. All right, Lord, you know, just boop, there he goes. A huge fish. Was it a whale? We don't know. It could have been. But here's Jonah, he immediately goes down. Now he goes down into the belly of the fish, a great fish. Interesting, the Lord prepared it. You know, here's something I found out. There's an easy way to do things and a hard way. Some people, they just got to do the hard way rather than the easy way. God says, hey, listen, just go this way. Nope. What I'm going to do, see that brick wall right there? I'm going to run into that repeatedly with my forehead, and I'm going to see what happens. And you just think, why do you keep doing that? That is so painful. There's an easier way. God has a better plan. Stop that. And so this fish swallows up Jonah. And you can't even imagine what that would be like. You know, they say that inside of a whale, I haven't been in there myself, but they say 98.6 degrees inside of a whale. Imagine just being cramped in there. 98.6 degrees. It's like being in a grave, in a casket, but there's fish around you and seaweed and acid from you know, this whale has acid reflux. He's just, you know, he has an urge to regurge, and he just, boom, boom, Jonah's just being swallowed, digested up and down. There's fish and seaweed, and the guy's just like, ah. But here's the classic thing. This is what's so classic. 3 days. And then he says, okay, I'll pray. I mean, 3 days? I mean, the first sight of the fish coming to swallow me. The first time I'm being digested. Oh, God, please take me out of this. I promise I'll go to Nineveh. Please. Hey, sailors, let me back up. Okay. I mean, but 3 days? How hard was Jonah's heart? Pretty hard. 3 days. He waited up and down and up. Whale comes up. If it was a whale, you know, and he just back down to the depths. I mean, his ears are popping, his eyes are bulging. He is a mess. And finally, but you know people like that, don't you? Bro, what happened to you? Nothing. Nothing, man. Nothing. Why don't you cry out to God? I'm not going to. Like, why are you gonna? Like, dude, what are you doing, man? 3 days being in a fish, finally he prays. And Jonah just confesses to the Lord. I mean, you got to read it on your own, but Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. And he's just confessing to God. He literally says, Lord, I am in hell. I mean, that's what it felt like. That's what he said. But then Jonah says, listen, Lord, I'll sacrifice to you with the service of thanksgiving. I'll pay what I vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Basically, here's what Jonah's saying. I'm just going to paraphrase chapter 2. I surrender. I'm done, Lord. I'm done. I give up. I quit. No more running away. No more going down. No more being digested. I'm going. Jump. Point me in the direction. Have this whale do something I can't. And then verse 10 of chapter 2. The Lord, after Jonah finally cries out to God, you know what happened? The Lord spoke to the fish, and it says it vomited Jonah onto dry land. What was that like? And Jonah's just like, you know, just getting shot out of a cannon onto the shore. And you know, for 3 days, his skin probably turned just white from the acid. I mean, he smells like fish. He has seaweed wrapped around his head. Classic thing is, in Nineveh, they worship the fish god. So here's Jonah coming in smelling like fish. Somebody says, do you see that guy? I saw him. He was vomited onto the shore. Did you see that guy? And he walks in. He walks into Nineveh, and you know what he says? Jonah has a one-point sermon. Just 1 point. 40 days, Nineveh's going to be overthrown. That's all he said. Just 1 point. And I wonder how he said it. 40 days. It's going to be overthrown. 40 days. Woo. I mean, people were just looking at this guy. And you know what happened? One of the greatest revivals in the Old Testament took place in Nineveh. From the reluctant prophet who was unwilling to go where God wanted him to go. What a ride. But then I love what it says in Jonah chapter 3. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. God gave Jonah a second chance. Had he failed? Yeah, epic fail. Had he run from God? Completely. Had he disobeyed God? He did. Was he going in the opposite direction? He was. And yet God comes to this man and says, Jonah, I'm going to give you a second chance. I'm going to let you do this right. Perhaps you've been running from God. And God wants to give you another chance, friend. Maybe you were a Christian at one time. At least that's what you claimed. But you walked away from the Lord. And you know, you're here tonight and you like music and you're cool with it. Everybody sees you. Hey, how you been? Solid. You know, but really, you're not. And you know it and God knows it. And if you're married, your wife knows it. I mean, everybody knows it. It's time to get right with God. Perhaps for others of you, you've never asked Jesus into your heart. I mean, maybe somebody invited you, and this is your first time at church. I don't know what everybody's status is here tonight, but listen, here's what I know for sure. God loves you, and he sent his son to die for you, and he wants to cleanse you of your sins. He wants to forgive you for those things that you're ashamed of, those things that you don't want anybody to know about, God already knows about, and he still loves you, and he wants to forgive you. He wants to save you. He wants to give you the hope of heaven. Every single person here tonight believes in something. What do you believe? Well, I'm not religious. Well, that's your belief. I'm not religious. Well, I just believe in nature. Okay. What about the creator who created it? I don't know about that. Well, there is a creator. His name is God. He created it all. He holds it all together. My question to you tonight is, what is the basis of your belief? Does your belief system prepare you for eternity? What do you base it on? How do you know? The Bible teaches that there is a real place called heaven where there is no more sorrow, there is no more pain, there is no more tears. Jesus said, I go away to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. I'm coming for you. I'm preparing a place, and then I'm coming for you. There's a place called heaven prepared for us. Jesus said there's also a place called hell. It was prepared initially for the devil and his angels, but if you choose to reject salvation, the Bible says that that's where people go, where they're separated from God for all of eternity, and there is no light there. There is no joy there, only eternal darkness and fire and weeping and gnashing of teeth and eternal separation from God. And Jesus died so that you never have to go there. Let me ask you something. If today were your last day on the earth, and you knew this is it, do you know for a fact where you would go? Are you prepared to meet the God who created you? Because the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. And if you're not ready, I've got great news for you tonight. You can be ready. You can be prepared. That's why Jesus came. We all need a Savior because we're all sinners. All of us have broken God's law. People say, well, I've never broken God's law. You ever broken God's law? No, you just did. You lied. Everybody's broken God's law. We're all sinners. We're all in the same boat. And the payment for sin is death. There has to be justice for the sin. And that's why Jesus went to the cross, died in our place. The cross was a substitutionary death. He died the death we should have died. He took upon himself the judgment we deserve. The wrath that should have been poured out on me was poured out on Christ. And I have trusted in what he did on my behalf. My sins were nailed to the cross with Christ, and your sins as well. He took my place, and then he was buried, the Bible says, in a grave. And then he rose again from the dead, and he's alive forevermore. Our Redeemer lives. Amen? And by the way, that's what separates Jesus from every other person who's come in their own name. Buddha, dead. Muhammad, dead. Confucius, dead. I mean, they're all dead. Jesus is the only one that's alive. I remember hearing the testimony of a Muslim man who came to faith in Christ. And his friends were questioning him, how could you turn away from Islam? How could you do this? And he said, well, it's very simple. He said, I came to a fork in the road, and there were two men sitting there, and I needed directions. One man was dead, the other man was alive. Which one would you ask for directions? And he came to faith in Christ. Jesus didn't say, I'm one of many ways, choose one. I'm one of many paths, pick one. He said, I am the exclusive only way to heaven, period. It's not enough tonight, folks, to just intellectually assent to a historical figure named Jesus. It isn't enough to attend a church service, to have a big Bible, or a sticker on your car, or to come to a conference or a concert. You have to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Listen, the Bible tells us very clearly that these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now he commands all men and women everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man, Jesus Christ, whom he has ordained, and he has given assurance of this by raising him from the dead. Now you ask the question, Pastor John, hey, how can I be saved? I want salvation. I don't want to be separated from God. And God loves me? Absolutely. He died for me? He did. He wants to forgive me? Absolutely. How do I get saved? How do I come to Christ? First of all, you have to realize that God loves you unconditionally, perfectly. And secondly, you have to recognize that you're a sinner, that you've fallen short of God's glory, that there's none righteous, no, not one. We've all failed. You need salvation. You're not too good for salvation, nor are you too bad for salvation. Thirdly, you have to repent of sin. And repent, it means to change direction. It means to stop running away from God and start running to God. To stop running away from God like Jonah did and turn around and run toward God. And here's what you're going to find when you turn and run toward God and you turn away from your sin. That God's arms are open wide to embrace you and receive you tonight. He's not going to condemn you. He's not going to wait for you and say, man, I've been waiting for this day. Come on up here. No, that's not the God of the Bible. He loves you. He wants to cleanse you. He wants to forgive you. But listen, there's a cost. If you're going to turn and follow Christ, there's some things you're going to need to leave behind. There's some decisions that we're not calling you tonight to a one-time decision. We're calling you to a way of life. That's what Jesus called his disciples to. That's what he's calling us to. And finally, you need to do it now. Don't put it off. You don't know how much time you have. God has a plan for your life. The longer you linger in the world, the more you miss out on what God wants to do. And you don't want to miss out on all the great things that God wants to do in your life. Today, if you can hear his voice, don't harden your heart. And finally, you need to do it publicly. You say, publicly? Whoa, hey. I don't know about that. Why publicly? Everybody Jesus called, he called openly, he called publicly. And Jesus went to the cross and he hung there publicly for my sin. The least that I can do is stand for him and receive what he has for me. Folks, we're lost without salvation. There is no hope for us apart from Christ, but there is hope in Christ. Are you ready to receive Christ? Do you want your sins forgiven? Do you want to know that when you die, you're going to heaven? You can know that tonight. You can have a brand new beginning in Christ. You could be a new creation. All things are passed away. All things are become new. Do you need to get right with Christ? Have you kind of diverted from the path, wandered off? You kind of gone back to the old stuff, the old habits, the old girls, the old guys, the old crew. You're doing your thing. Listen, you need to get right with God. This isn't the time to mess around with salvation, with your relationship with Jesus. God has things for you to do. God has a plan for your life. Why are you going to stay out there? Why are you going to mess around with that? It's time to get right and come to God. In a moment, Sanctus Real is going to come back up, and they're going to lead us in a song of invitation. And when they do, as they begin to play, listen, if God's speaking to you tonight, I mean, if there's just even one of you here tonight that chooses to get right with God, everything that's gone on here this evening is all worth it. But I think there's more than one of you tonight. As I was praying in the back, I felt like the Lord said, there's people here that need me tonight, John. There's people that need to come to me, they need to come back to me, and let them know that they can. Guys, it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. It's his grace. And you come, well, I want to fix my life up. I got to get this, you know what? I don't know if I can. Listen, God will take care of that. You just come as you are. Let Jesus sort all that out. So I'm going to pray. Invite the guys back up. Would you pray with me right now? And Heavenly Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you that you love us. Lord, you proved it. You didn't just say that you loved us. You proved it when you sent your son to die in our place. And Lord, there may be some here tonight. And Lord, you're calling them. Lord, I pray right now that the battle that's going on in some hearts tonight, Lord, the battle would be won. Lord, it's against the flesh and the spirit, the devil and the Son of God. There's a battle for people's lives. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that that battle would be won tonight and that people would come to faith in Christ or even come back to Christ, Lord, if that's what's needed tonight. Lord, just a humility, a brokenness, a spirit of surrender to you, Lord. Father, thank you that you don't condemn us. You invite us. You don't condemn us. You save us. And so we thank you for that, Lord. Give them courage in the name of Jesus. As we're led in a song of worship, of invitation, listen, if that's you, and listen, you know who you are. God's already been speaking to you. If there's a battle going on in your heart, there's a pounding inside of your chest, you're the very one that God's calling, and you know you need to get up. I'm going to encourage you to come as we're led in a song. So as we just get up and come now, I'm going to wait for you right here at the bottom.
And I hurting and broken within. Thank you, Jesus. Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin. And Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? And Jesus is calling. The precious blood of Jesus Christ.
person, or maybe others of you, come and stand with these men down here. You say, well, I'm a little nervous to go. Maybe a friend brought you. Say, would you go stand with me? And you get up and come. Listen, God wants to bless your life tonight. This is a turning point in your life. This can be a complete and total change of direction tonight, to run toward God. Don't resist it. Don't fight it. Respond to it. Respond to love. Just get up and come now and encourage these people as they come.
So leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. And Jesus is calling. So bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling.
I remember sitting, amen, come on, come on, amen. I remember sitting in a place like this and hearing the invitation given. And for me, I was so worried about what people were going to think. There was such a battle going on for my life, and I had no idea what God wanted to do with my life. I definitely knew I was a sinner. That I knew for sure. But I was ashamed. I was ashamed of what people might think. Listen, you don't need to be ashamed, because you know what God thinks about you. And He loves you, regardless of what's happened in your life. I just want to give you one more chance. This is your time. And if you're sitting, and there's a battle going on, if you're sitting in the middle, this happens sometimes. The enemy's like, don't get up. You're gonna have to bother these people. If you get, please, would you bother us? Would you come out here and stand with these people and receive Christ? Don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything stop you from entering into all that God has for you. You spent enough time running from Him. Run to Him tonight. We're gonna play this one more time. You get up and come, then I'll pray for these guys right here. You get up and come. This is your shot. This is your chance.
And oh, what a Savior. Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. And bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Is risen, and oh, what a Savior! Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah! Christ is risen, and bow down before. Forgiveness was brought.
Praise the Lord, yeah? Guys, let's praise the Lord tonight. Listen. I want you guys to know tonight, you are loved by God. This is a step, man, a new beginning for you. I'm going to lead you in a word of prayer. For some of you, maybe you prayed this before, and you're coming back to the Lord, and God knows all your circumstance. For others of you, maybe this is the first time you're saying, hey, I'm going to walk with the Lord. I'm making a commitment to follow after Jesus. And here's the great news. Guys, he's going to enable you to do what he's called you to do. You're not going to have to do this all on your own. He's going to be with you. And so I'm going to lead you in a word of prayer. Would you just repeat out loud this prayer after me? Just a prayer asking Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Just repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe you died for my sins. And right now, I turn from my sins and I open the door of my heart and my life to you. I confess you as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And I ask you to fill me now with the power of your Holy Spirit, that I can live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Welcome to the family, you guys. So awesome. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hey, let's stand and encourage these guys. Come on. Powerful. Powerful. I'm looking around. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Right over here, you'll see Bible standing up, this Bible raised in this hand right here. Guys, look over here. And we just want you to, we have some people that want to give you something. They just want to bless you. They just want to encourage you. And if you could just follow these guys right over here, just take 3 minutes of your time, really. Maybe five tops. Just encourage these guys. They make their way over here. Somebody wants to encourage you. It's right over here. Yeah, come right this way, you guys. Come on. Let's encourage these guys. Right over here. Yeah, come on. That's awesome, you guys. Just make your way right over here. And Lord, we pray for these that have come forward tonight. Lord, we pray for those that have come forward that they would now go forward in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you that eternal addresses have been changed tonight. And Lord, we thank you for that. We give you praise. God, may your kingdom continue to expand. Lord, make us salt and light in this world, Lord, that we could preach the gospel unashamed. Lord, we pray for those tonight who didn't come forward, but you're working on them. Lord, I pray they wouldn't be able to escape this. Lord, I pray every place they try to go to go down, you'd be right there. And if it takes a fish, then use whatever it takes, Lord, but bring them to you. We thank you, Lord, we praise you. Give you all the glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Praise the Lord.